May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So David danced in front of the ark. And I think quite a few people among the population there would have admired the king for being so involved in worship. Others, of course, like his wife included, thought it was not becoming of a king, and maybe not becoming of anybody at all, to be so religiously devout and exhibit such fervor.
All that dancing
may seem somewhat over the top.
Well, I have to say, I'm somewhat with
Michal, David's wife here. I'm not that keen on interpretive dance in church, and have sometimes cringed at a few things happening in services.
After all, I do
like some dignity in services. I certainly wouldn't want to have too much chaos in here.
Well, we'll see how that goes at the next service. After all, the Apostle Paul also said
that there needs to be good order at church gatherings.
And so I like the ordered
Anglican service, for example. And yet others
find the whole Anglican
liturgy too formal, too much of a straitjacket. But I think maybe when we think about how we worship God, we don't judge worship styles on whether they are dignified, spontaneous, or creative, but rather recognize that while some order and structure is good, it is more important that we give praise to God and that we are spiritually nourished.
Now, that, I don't think
that means that we should just look for a church that we are comfortable in. After all, we also need to be challenged and we also need to be committed to a local church community. But I think it is important that we can join in the worship of our church and are not left continually cringing. There also has to be some authenticity in our services. It's no use imitating the worship of another church if that is absolutely not us. When we think about how we worship God, and particularly about worship services and churches, we often come to the question about how relevant this would be to someone just walking in off the street, or how comfortable they would feel. We worry about what attracts the most people, whether it would be seen as contemporary or even as cool.
While here at St. Paul's we follow some traditions, such as lighting candles at the church service,
and the minister normally wears robes, in comparison to Anglo-Catholic churches, we are nearly casual.
I do like some dignity in services, as I said, but I think that too much ritual can detract us from the essence of faith.
Nevertheless, sometimes I think there's something in the Anglo-Catholic determination of continuing worship their way,
even though it may seem strange
to any external observer.
When I was up in Cambridge, the vicar regularly said,
"Church has to keep some of its weird." Our worship of God can never seem not strange to some people. Yes, we need to be aware of how our public worship may seem to others. It shouldn't positively freak them out.
And we need to adapt to the times
in some aspect of our services to speak to the people.
But we also need to be aware that the
church, when it seeks to honor God, will always seem strange to some. And that in today's world, when church often
is an alien concept to many,
any act of worship would seem weird to quite a few people.
So where is the line between being stuck in the rut and being authentic and dedicated to our worship? As we worship, we should not first of all wonder what other people think, and yet we should be inviting,
possibly infectious in our enthusiasm to praise God.
What is it
for you to in worship that makes you feel God's presence, that makes you feel nourished?
What is it that in worship
that enables you to praise God? In the United Kingdom, there's a Christian website called Ship of Fools.
It became quite well known through its mystery
worshiper,
where people could sign on to a list and they would go to
a church service and evaluated in a set format.
One of the questions is, which part of the service was like being in heaven? And I read through a few reports, and some of the answers said, for example, I enjoyed the tidy, ordered, and traditional communion and being in a church with an organ and a choir. Another said, the friendliness of all the people. Another answer was, recognizing that the Christian family is made up of all sorts. Or another, it was too good to be with other Christians celebrating this special occasion. Another example is
the abundance of scriptural readings and the people responding with praise.
And so you can see it's a whole different things that seemed really heavenly to different people. The follow-on question
in the survey is,
and which part of the
service was like being in that other place? And the answers that I saw were the mustard-colored carpet.
I didn't know a note in any of the hymns or any...
The tinny sound of a mobile phone ringtone loudly playing a piece of jazzy classical music not once but twice during the service.
Or another, it was
said that although we could hear children playing and traffic passing, we were such a poor crowd.
Or another was, the most hellish bit of the service was the rapid
evacuation of the place within a couple of minutes at the end of the service.
I wonder what our answers
would be to those questions.
I encourage you to
reflect how our services can be an ever so dim reflection of heaven, maybe for you. And in what way do we praise God, even without regard to what others are thinking? How can we be like David,
caught up in the praise of our God? Amen.